Okay, good morning. My name is Austin Terhune. I'm a master's student in the Soil and Crop Science Department at Texas A&M University. I work under Dr. Steve Haig in the Cotton Improvement Lab. Today I'd like to share with you a little bit about my research in phenotyping, drought tolerance, and cotton. A quick overview of what I'll discuss today. I'll start with the introduction, my research objectives, my material methods, results, and wrap up with conclusions. More on the importance of drought tolerance. Soil moisture is the most limiting factor in yield in the state of Texas. My research objective was to develop well-defined phenotypic parameters to select for drought tolerance. Methods I used in phenotyping this summer at my trials were the three following. First, I used a Trimble Green Seeker, which measured NDVI, which stands for Normalized Difference Vegetative Index. Second, I also looked at plant canopy and leaf temperatures, and finally root growth and architecture. The following eight breeding lines were used in my project. Two established cultivars, Tamcott 73 and Delta Pine 491, was my commercial check. The other six were developed at the Cotton Improvement Lab. My field trial design was set up with 2-row plots, 4 replications, planted at 4 locations, 2 of which I'll talk about today, set up in a randomized complete block design. All 4 locations were planted on 38-inch rows, and the 8-week screening was checked weekly between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. during June 18th to August 6th. This is a map of the 4 locations planted. The north is Commerce, Texas, and far south is Corpus Christi. The 2 circled in the middle, the left is Thrall, Texas, and the right is College Station. The cotton staging for my project started the screening at the second true leaf stage, and I screened continuously 3 weeks after the cutout, which was approximately 8 weeks. Due to planting dates with College Station and Thrall, the growth stages of the cotton were very similar. The Trimble Green Seeker pictured here is a handheld crop sensor that I used to measure plant biomass. When you'd pull the trigger, it would emit red and infrared light and then measure the amount of light reflected back. While the trigger would remain engaged, the sensor would continue to sample the scanned area, generating continuous bursts of light and updating the display. Typically, green plants would absorb most of the red light and reflect back the infrared light. The relative strength of the detected light is a direct indicator of the density of the plant foliage and the overall plant health. More on NDVI. The denser and more vigorous the plant, the greater the difference between the reflected light signals. The sensor displayed the measured values of NDVI on the LCD screen. The NDVI would give a value anywhere between 0 to 0.99. Today, the Green Seeker is mostly used in measuring plant nitrogen status in corn and wheat. My question was, could we use it as a tool in evaluating drought tolerance in cotton? Using SAS program and a proc mix procedure, the following tables, such as this one, show NDVI by location using repeated measures. Looking at Thrall and College Station, we had significance in rep, genotype, week, and genotype by week, but only in College Station for that one. Looking at the variety effects by week, notice weeks 1, 2, and 3 showed significance when looking at the varieties by week. Looking in closer at weeks 1, 2, and 3 with their significance, We look at the NDVI on the y-axis in weeks 1 through 8, where all 8 varieties were screened, and there is a significant amount of variability between each variety's NDVI results. And towards the end of the 8-week screening period and the end of the growing season, the varieties all had closer and more similar NDVI results. Focusing still on week 2, we can look at the genotypes and the NDVI in a T-grouping table and see that Delta Pine 491, Tamcott 73, and V45 were all very similar in week two, as whereas X26 at the bottom had a much lower reading early in the season. Again, the same table looking at NDVI by location and repeated measures. Now I'll talk about thrall, and we did not have significance in genotype by week. In this next slide, looking at week two shows why we did not have significance amongst varieties, and you can see that it remained fairly consistent in the variability through weeks 1 and 8 and through 8. Looking also at week 2 at thrall, we can see that the NDVI results for Tamcott 73, WZ 78, and WK 11 were very similar that week. As compared, instead, at the bottom of the table, WE 14 was statistically and NDVI rating was much smaller that week. The second part of my project was to look at leaf temperature. And in doing so and collecting leaf temperatures, we hope to understand more about the plant's relation to stomatal transpiration and overall plant health and root structures. The ANOVA table here of leaf temperatures across locations in weeks using repeated measures showed that there was significance amongst locations, rep locations, genotypes, and weeks. Looking at the College Station temperature results with weeks 1 through 8 on the x-axis and temperature on the right, we can see early in the screening, weeks 1 through 3, there was a slight amount of variability in each variety's overall temperature. And towards the end of the 8-week screening period, the leaf temperatures all became relatively the same. But notice that 07V45, the red line at the end, is a little cooler than the rest. Our yield results came in for College Station, and 07V45 was the yield winner that year at that location. The same chart here, but for thrall, with temperature on the left and weeks 1 through 8 on the bottom, there was some pretty consistent variability amongst all 8 varieties through the 8-week screening period, and once again 07V45 did have a cooler leaf temperature at the end of the 8 weeks, but in a more drought prone environment, 07V45 finished last in the yield trial. Looking more at the leaf temperatures across locations and weeks, I have their averaged temperature listed with a T grouping table. And you can notice that most of the varieties were very similar in their temperature, whereas WZ78 was a slightly cooler, and the yield winner in a favorable environment, but yet yield loser in a drought-prone environment, 07V45, was one of the cooler ones still. Finally, to wrap up with the two locations and the mean lint yield and crop maturity by location, we have the main thing I'd like to take away here is in thrall, an environment that was very drought prone, and it started off as a good season, had good early rains, but in June just received hardly any rain at all, made half bale cotton, as you can see at the bottom of the table, whereas College Station started out good and was still a favorable environment and was basically an almost an irrigated trial, made 3 bale cotton. But if we look at the open bowl, green bowl, or the maturity of the crop, whether in a good irrigated environment or a drought-prone environment, the maturity and earliness of the plants were both the same in either location. The third and final part of my project I looked at was roots. These were done in the Borlaug Center greenhouse in College Station. I had 2 experiments of 10 replications. I allowed the plants to grow for 40 days in 4-inch by 4-foot tall PVC pipes, and I evaluated the taproot lengths and the number of lateral roots, and also measured their wet and dry weights. The table of root measures by experiment show experiment 1 and 2 here, and we did have significance amongst genotypes and taproot length. This data is still a little rough, and it's a very scattered data set, and we're trying to still make more of it and see what we can do. But this is what I have for now. And finally, in conclusions, NDVI measures and shows promise prior to full bloom in the early weeks, and leaf temperature screening can be effective throughout the fruiting stages. It still leads us to ask the questions, can both of those things relate to root architecture, and most importantly, do they relate in yield? I'd like to thank Dr. Steve Haig, my advisor, our two technicians for all their help, Don Dino and Richard Hermes, the graduate students and student workers, and a special thanks to Cotton Incorporated for the funding of this project. Thank you.
Question for Austin,
please. You said the root data is very scattered?
Yes, sir.
So, any idea why that might have been?
I'm not sure yet. It's the most recent data that I started looking at right now. We still need to run a few more, maybe statistical tests on it, but it's fairly new, and it's just we want to try and make something of it.
It's all from a greenhouse?
Yes, sir. The plants were outside to still kind of simulate a drought environment, and whenever rain, storms, and things like that did come, I would move them inside so I could control the watering and things like that. Did I look at all the leaves in the whole plot? No, I would take five random plants, and then I would take that average of those five plants and record that as my... There was a little bit, some significance, but not a lot. So. Yes, sir. I used the very top leaf, the newest growth leaf on the plants when screening them for leaf temperatures. Not that I've noticed yet. That'd be something more interesting to look at, like week 1, 2, 3, all the way to 8, and see how those changed.